So the title, if you like to put titles on your notes, is just simply Peace Which Passeth All Understanding. And we're going to specifically focus on verse 6 and verse 7. So the last two verses that we read. Some of you may have been here last time when I preached at the midweek, and I was looking back and I didn't realise it was back in January. So time flies, and if anyone does remember, I did speak about joy and really focused on verse 4 of rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So this is really just to sort of follow on from there, and the reason why I read verse 4 and 5 again, because it sort of starts from there and kind of carries on. So just to recap, so verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So before I get into bringing some words of devotion, as it were, I just wanted to give a bit of an overview, a very brief overview of this wonderful book. So the Church of Philippi had a significant sort of special place in Paul's heart. The reason being, it was his first church that he founded in Europe. Okay, and we read this in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were imprisoned there, but God graciously delivered them, and they proclaimed the gospel, if you remember, to the jailer, and him and his family were saved. And it was likely that Paul visited this church a number of times, okay, after his initial departure. And what's wonderful is they maintained this sort of active support for him, and vice versa, for him encouraging them. So Paul wanted to encourage the Philippians in their faith. Okay, now, you know, compared to some of the other churches where there was lots and lots of problems, you could say that with the church in Philippi, generally, apart from a little bit of disunity between some of the members, it was generally very good. We could say the church seemed to be well and growing. But yet, he still wanted to encourage them in his faith. And actually, if we think about when he was writing this letter, he was imprisoned. And even with a house imprisonment, as it was, it would have been great anguish, because Paul wouldn't have known what would happen. He didn't know if he was going to be put to death. So you could imagine that he would have had some anxious thoughts. But yet, he still wanted to write and encourage the church in Philippi. And he wanted to assure the church as well that he was in good spirits. And what an encouragement that would have been from the church. You know, they might have thought, wow, he's under house arrest. He, you know, he might face execution. What's going to happen to him? They may have had some fears and anxious thoughts and doubts, but he didn't seem to show that in his writings and in his letters, which hopefully brought great encouragement to the church at that time. He was eager to thank them. It's you could say it's also a letter of thanks as well for the support, both in prayer and sort of as a sort of blessing of support financially. And remember that imprisonment would have carried a real sort of social stigma at the time. I mean, it still does now. So people, you would have thought that maybe some of them would like to distance themselves from Paul because, you know, he's in prison again, and, you know, do we want that association? But they didn't. They didn't turn their back on him, and they remained faithful. Paul's purpose goes even further. He's concerned above all about the Philippians to continue and make progress in their faith. It's all well and good talking about faith once, But that's not enough, is it? And that's why we come to services, hopefully at the midweek, as you are here today. And on the Lord's Day, we have two services. And for many of us here, we've been Christians for many, many years. And we would have heard the messages over and over again. But how much do we need to hear those messages over and over again? We need to constantly be encouraged. So, he was concerned about their faith. And like I say, there were some conflicts in the congregation. We read that in the early part of chapter 4, verse 2. But as I said, they appeared to be a healthy congregation on the whole, compared to Corinth and Galatia. Okay, but they cannot relax. Paul's answer is a no. The world is too perilous. The gospel too glorious for them to be content with maybe any past achievements or the growth of the church. They must follow Paul's example and press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I just wanted to give that very brief overview. It's a wonderful book, and if you haven't read it in a while, I encourage you to read it, and it shouldn't take you too long to go through those four chapters. So I just want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer back, it's a rhetorical question. But do you ever get down? Do you ever get anxious, depressed, discouraged? I know I have. And if we're honest with ourselves, even as Christians, I'm sure we all have at times. Some people, and I don't know whether it's still sort of this stigma, as they think, oh, as a Christian, we cannot be depressed. We must always be, well, we read, rejoice in the Lord always, and always be joyful and full of the Holy Spirit. But in us, we may want that, but we know our flesh is weak. And we read scriptures like our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. Does being depressed or discouraged make you a bad or weak Christian? Well, the answer is no. Many of us have heard quotes of Charles Haddon Spurgeon and what he's said. And, you know, we look, many of us would have read his sermons and or listened to them. And if we actually remember, and I'm sure all of you do know, and if you don't, he suffered greatly with depression. Okay, so much so, there were times where he wouldn't preach for weeks. Okay, and he said, often he felt as if he had accomplished nothing in his life. And we read about his life and we think, wow, he accomplished so much. Yet at times he felt that he didn't accomplish anything. He once lamented and he said, I have got the blackest heart in Britain. And frequently he would go into the garden and raise his hands to God and cry, Lord, I have never desired you more, yet my spirit has never been so low. Why is this happening? So I want to use that as an encouragement that when you do get discouraged yourself, it is a normal human feeling. And so don't beat yourself up. I guess the key is not to stay in that rut, as it were. So we're going to So when we do get discouraged, some people, unfortunately, are tempted to quit. Throw in the towel, we might say. Give up. But you know what? That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. And he can really get to us through those challenging times, can't he? If we look back on our own lives and we have those thoughts and worries and concerns and we keep going over them and it causes us not to sleep sometimes and we become very, very anxious. And that's how Satan can affect us. So we have to be careful. So we're going to look into these two verses in a bit more detail and we're going to break them up into three sections. So if you like to write notes, as Pastor sometimes does, he uses the same letter. I thought we're going to break it up into resist, request, and results. Okay? So we're going to talk about resist first of all. So verse 6, if we read that again, it says, just the start bit, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. It's the same expression that's used in Matthew 6:25 when Jesus says, take no thought for your life. That is, avoid anxious care and distracting thoughts in the wants and the difficulties of life. Now, I must add, there is a difference between being anxious, worried, and then being concerned. So if you think about it, it's fine to be concerned. We can. There's always going to be things that happen in our life and situations in other people's lives, and we will have concern, and that's fine. But again, it's not to cross over into that sort of that debilitating anxiousness. You know, we can just kind of keep churning over and over our mind, and we don't take any form of action, and it can consume us. And some people, and you might know, it might be you yourself, anyone that's listening, some people may have had, you know, really deep depression, not just weeks, for months, maybe years. It's a real thing, and it really affects people. Matthew Henry, the commentator, he said, it is the duty and the interest of Christians to live without care. There is a care of diligence, which is our duty, and consists in a wise forecast and due concern. But there is a care of diffidence and distrust, which is our sin and folly, and which only perplexes and distracts the mind. Be careful for nothing, so as by your care to distrust God and unfit yourselves for his service. So that's quite hard hitting, quite sobering, really, what he writes there. And really, you know, if we worry too much and we get ourselves into such a state, are we able to do God's work effectively? And that's what it comes down to. We obviously know the Great Commission to go out there and preach the gospel to all nations. How can we do that if we're in this rut of worry, anxiousness, depression? We can't. Okay? And as I said before, Spurgeon, it was so debilitating for him, he wasn't able to preach for sometimes weeks at a time. And this is from a man that was used mightily by God. So I don't know if any of you have played sports in the past or watched sports, but I think most will know that for a lot of teams, whether we take football, for example, or rugby, there's like an attacking part of the team, the forwards, and they're attacking. And then there's the defence, okay? Think of this part, be careful for nothing, as the defence. You have to defend your hearts. You have to defend your minds. You have to defend yourselves from becoming overwhelmed and consumed with worry and thus be ineffective for the Lord's work. And that's what hit me really hard was, it makes us ineffective for the Lord's work. And I think that's what we've got to realise. It's not just about it makes us ineffective to go to work or to maintain maybe relationships with people, friends and families, but it's we're ineffective for the Lord's work. Worrying serves no purpose. I think we can all agree on that. I don't think anyone will go against me on that statement, worrying serves no purpose. And to illustrate this, I actually came across a story. I don't know whether it's true, but a story of a French soldier in World War I who carried into battle a prescription for worry. And he said, of two things, one is certain, Either you are at the front or you're at the behind the lines. If you are at the front, of two things, one is certain. Either you are exposed to danger or you're in a safe place. If you are exposed to danger, of two things, one is certain. Either you are wounded or you are not wounded. If you are wounded, of two things, one is certain. Either you recover or you die. If you recover, there is no need to worry. And as you can guess, if you die, you can't worry. And I just thought that was interesting. And yes, it just puts a certain perspective on things. So we need to resist the overwhelming and often debilitating thoughts of worry and anxiousness. We need to defend ourselves against Satan's attacks. We need to resist our fleshly thoughts. So how do we do this? That takes us on to point two, which is requests. So if you look back at your Bibles at verse 6, so we looked at the first part, be careful for nothing. So that's the defense, defending our hearts, our thoughts. And then it goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So this, if you like, is the attack strategy. So we have the defense strategy. Now we're on to the attack strategy. This is the remedy, you might say, the antidote to our worries, the solution. Paul recommends us to constant prayer in everything by prayer and supplication. So we're here tonight for the Bible study and prayer meeting. We have other stated prayer times on a Saturday evening online and on the Lord's Day evening. And these are important, of course. But we must not just keep set times of prayer. We must pray in every particular situation and emergency. And I'll give you a challenge when you hear of something that's happened. It might not be to do with yourself directly, but someone you know, challenges they're going through. Whatever it might be, do we go straight to the Lord in prayer? And that should be our challenge. Are our children witnessing us going straight to the Lord in prayer? Or do we just talk about that situation of that person and so-and-so is got this, or this has happened to this person. How dreadful that is. We need to go straight to the Lord in prayer, in everything. And, you know, it's very important. I believe I've got a young family, obviously training up my children, and we can do family devotions and we can sing praises and hymns. And have set times to do these things, and we can bring them to church. And God can use that, and God can save them through that. But it's those times in between where they can learn so much from us, how we react in certain situations. And may it be that whether we have children or not, that we are a praying people, not just in public worship, but in the quiet times. So in everything, by prayer, we need to always remember that. And it shouldn't get old to us. So as you hear me speak these words, it shouldn't be, yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. It should use those words and use the scriptures as a conviction. I love it when I come out of church and I'm very convicted. I feel it's a good message then. And obviously at different times we have different forms of convictions. Some messages sort of speak more to us than others, but may it be that we are convicted on this point. So when anything burdens our spirit, We must ease and soothe our minds by prayer. We must seek direction and support from the Lord. In Psalm 55, chapter 22, we can go, chapter 55, verse 22, if you want to turn there, you can do. So in Psalm 55, 22, we read, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And I just think that's so wonderful. And if you think about how almighty our Lord is, tells us we can cast our burdens to him. And he will. It's not that we can just cast them and that's it. He will sustain us. And if we go into, if you turn now to Matthew chapter 11, we'll also read a similar thing from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." It doesn't matter how heavy or light your burden is. Jesus says, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And isn't that wonderful? We can find rest for our souls. So we've got this burden, we've got these worries, these anxious feelings that are consuming us. We can come to the Lord Jesus in prayer and he can just take on all those burdens and we can just find rest. How wonderful, how wonderful. So also goes on within verse 6, focusing now on the part where it says, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So we must join thanksgiving with our prayers and our supplications. And I got this phrase from somewhere. It may have been Matthew Henry, but I quite like it. So I put it in there, and it says, "We must only seek supplies." We must not only seek supplies of good, but own receipts of mercy. We must not only seek supplies of good, but own receipts of mercy. So we need to think back about the past. And if we all just took, for some of us, it would take hours and hours to think back of all the mercies that God has bestowed upon our life. We might take this just brief time now and just think and look back. And even just in this past week, this past month, the fact that you're all here today, the fact that you woke up this morning, that was your first mercy. And then you had your breakfast. Some of you might not eat breakfast, but you might have had your breakfast, a glass of water, a shower, and there's already a handful of mercies, and the day has not even begun. So we need to look back on that. We need to thank him for the current mercies, and we need to thank him for the future mercies and blessings. Prayer is the offering up of our desires to God, or making them known to him. Let your requests be made known to God. Don't just think that it's a small thing. Is God going to care? He listens to every single one of our prayers. I can't comprehend that because of how many Christians might be praying at the same time around the world. But that's what his word says, and I believe his word. And isn't that amazing that he listens to you? In fact, he knows what you're going to say before you even say it, which is even more amazing. So even though he knows what we're going to say, he still calls us to pray to prayer. He wants us to show our regard and our concern and express our value of the mercy. And this is the key bit, is the dependence on him. As I've walked my Christian life, I've actually realized more and more my need of Jesus Christ. So at the beginning of my walk, I obviously was converted graciously by the Lord Jesus Christ, but I didn't depend on him near as much as I realized I needed to. And I'm sure we can all relate to that as well, for those of us that are Christians, is we need to have that dependence on him. And that's why coming to him in prayer, in everything, in all times, that shows our dependence on our Lord. So, we've talked about resisting the defense. Be careful for nothing. Then we make known the request, the attack, pushing forwards in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now we'll move on to the final part, which is the result, which is verse 7. So if you turn back to your Bibles, or I will just say the verse again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, in a way, we could say we've been warned to guard our hearts, we've been commanded, we've been encouraged, and now we get to see the promise. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How wonderful. Who here wants this peace? I certainly do. How we need it each and every day, especially in those challenging, anxious, hard times of our lives that all of us will go through. And there's some young people here today, and you may have had quite an easy life so far, and what a blessing that is from God. But I can assure you, it won't stay like that. Life can be very challenging, and some people have more challenges than others. But God does not give us anything more than we can handle. God's peace is not like the peace of the world, is it? The world's peace is circumstantial. It's fleeting. It's here 1 minute, gone the next. And one of Satan's tricks towards men is to lie about the meaning of the present situation in order to get you to forget the truth that you know and believe. God's peace, though, when it comes, it overshadows, it drives everything away. It drives that anxiety away. And just to focus now and hone in, it says, "This peace that passeth all understanding." Now imagine if you will, someone who is a millionaire, just has a lot of money, money's no concern to them. They might say they have peace. I feel secure. I have money in the bank. I feel protected. We'd look at the situation around us with rising costs. I'm sure there's many, many people that are worried and anxious about the future. But the millionaire will say, "It's okay. They can put my heating bill up, raise the cost of food and petrol. It doesn't really affect me." It's because they have something tangible. They have that money, something that can be counted. However, the understanding for a mature Christian, it's not counted. It's not based on anything tangible. So the world may look at us in certain situations. They might look at you and in certain situations, and you're going through great trials and tribulation, but yet you seem to have this peace about you. And they may say, why is that? Why have they got that peace? I don't understand. They're going through this and that. I'd be so worried if I was in their situation. I'd be beside myself. Look at what they're going through and continue to go through. And it will exceed their human comprehension. And so that's how I've understood this, to be this peace that passeth all understanding. It's not tangible. It's not, we can't count it. If people look at it, they can't get it. They might not understand it. But the wonderful thing is God can use this peacefulness in situations to be a great witness unto salvation for others. And again, as I referred earlier on, I said that if we are consumed with anxious thoughts, it can be debilitating, and then we are unfit for the service of the Lord. So if we turn it the other way, we'll be not just fit for the service of the Lord, but God may use that as a witness to save people. And how wonderful that might be. And you may never know. People may come into your life and see you, and you might be at work, and they meet you, and they sort of see something different about you, and you may move on, or they may move on. You have no idea what effect you could have on people and how the Lord can use you. So we talked about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now we're just going to focus on the last bit, which is, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this peace will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will keep us from sinning under our troubles, from sinking under them. It will keep us calm and sedate, like, and with inward satisfaction. And isn't it wonderful, and I hope that you have experienced this, even though you may have experienced anxious and troubling times, I hope you have also experienced those very calm and peaceful times. And even though there's all these troubles going on around you, even if they're not in your life, but maybe in the lives of your loved ones, and you've got that peace. Our peace of mind is guaranteed because we have our God as our provider and our saviour. And no matter what happens in this life, our resurrection and eternal life is guaranteed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that wonderful? So be on the defence. Do not let Satan take over your thoughts. Go on the attack. Pray for everything with thanksgiving. For those of you that are here tonight that are not believers, Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God, in his sovereign will, stir you up, convict you of your sins, show your need of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and cause you to repent for your sins and put your trust in him. May we pray earnestly tonight and continue praying for loved ones not yet saved to call upon the Lord. I'll just finish briefly now just to say God is sovereign. We know that. God is sovereign. What does that mean? He is ultimately in control. He supports us. He comforts us. We need to reach out to him. And we need to cry out for help. And there's nothing wrong with that. And whether you do that in front of a Christian, a fellow believer, in church, after the service, or whether you do it in the quiet time, go outside, cry to him. Cry to him for help. We cannot do this by ourselves. As I said, our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. The more I grow, I see my need of a Saviour. I will not get far. You will not get far in your Christian walk if you try to change and be less anxious and all these things all by yourself. If you try and do it yourself, sometimes it might work, but often it will fail. It might not be consistent. But don't be discouraged if you do find yourselves in challenging times. This is why we have the church, we have a pastor, have each other, have your loved ones. Should be one, we should be as a unit, one body. So do seek out each other. Not be worried what people may think of you because you're going through challenging times and you're struggling. And the more people that know about your situation, the more people can pray about your situation. So let that be an encouragement to us all. Thank you for listening. Amen.